To Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell Reed, and our guest this week, writer Karen Raleigh. Karen, tell us about going to Queen's as a mature student and how you found a niche again in the world of literature.
My sons were in high school at the time that I decided to go back to Queen's, and I always wanted to get my degree before they graduated, so I thought I better get on that. So I did. I started taking some courses. I drove down on my day off. I was working at the bookstore then and took some night courses as well and started publishing some poetry in campus magazines.
And so is it the poetry that found you the niche? Like what got you back to literature?
Yeah, because I had changed from biology to English literature because of working in the bookstore. That was my new passion. And I noticed in the syllabus that counting toward a credit for English literature were creative writing courses. And so I took the one in poetry and the one in prose, and that's what got me back into it.
And so the prose, I believe, was short stories. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think makes a good short story?
I always think a snappy opening and interesting characters. And the voice is very important to me. When I first started my first novel, the narrator was not a character, not in the first person. It wasn't written in the first person, but the narrator turned out to be, had too many opinions and sounded like the main character. That was pointed out to me. So I changed to the first person and that worked a lot better. I read an article in the New Yorker by Jerome Groopman, and it was called The Voices in Our Heads. And he wrote about all the inner chatter and how he tells jokes to himself sometimes. And he has conversations with family and friends. And I thought, oh, I do too. That's really interesting. So when I wrote Sociables, later in the story, the husband his inner thoughts will start to be published. So I find humor in that. And I also was working on another short story called No Such Thing as Gravity. And at one point, one of the characters says, oh, it sounds like a Netflix series. And that gave me the idea to look up how to write a script. So part of that story breaks into script. And I had a lot of fun researching that. I looked at House of Cards and Fleabag, because in both of those shows, the main character breaks the fourth wall, as they call it, where he will turn and look at the camera and speak. So I have my character do that. And that was a lot of fun.
Now, you finished one novel and the first draft of a second one. So are you going to go any further with these? Are you going to take them through to publication?
I hope to, yes. I'm just taking a break right now, writing seem to be short stories that are coming to me right now. But definitely, I need to polish them because the one I started back in 2001, 2002 with the writing course. So I might need to update that one a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. You'll probably find all kinds of things you want to change now. Now, you live on 12 acres in a century farmhouse and with walking trails and all that sort of stuff. Do you think that influences what you write? Do you, for instance, set your stories in Prince Edward County?
I do, mainly. I have written some that are set in the Bahamas, one is in England. And that's because I went to both of those places, and one in an apartment in a city because my parents lived there in their retirement. But other than that, there's always an old farmhouse that's being renovated, and there's woods and fields to walk through.
Are your stories and things driven then by setting? Like, do you always have the setting in mind and then bring characters to them, or do you start with characters?
I think I start with characters, usually based on someone maybe interesting that I've met, or my family, a grandparent maybe, or, you know, some memory. It's based on that, and then that person becomes many people and part of myself maybe as well, and it's lots of fun. I would say it's more character driven.
Now, you mentioned earlier about having something printed in the County Wave by Cressy Lakeside Press. Can you tell us a little about that?
Cressy Lakeside Books is a publishing cooperative. It's based here in the county, and they ran a contest for the anthology, calling out for county folk to submit stories.
And can we ask you to read again?
Sure. I'll read from the short story, No Such Thing as Gravity. It's a story about two sisters told from the point of view of the agnostic sister who used to be a Christian. And Betty, the younger sister, has, after sowing her wild oats, recently come back to religion. No such thing as gravity. I just got off the phone with my sister Betty. I've already launched a primal scream into the universe, but that's not enough. I need to talk, to rant. And you, my beloved blank piece of paper, are the best listener. You agree with everything I say, you don't interrupt with your own stories, and you don't play devil's advocate. You won't photocopy yourself, or go on Jerry Springer, or sell my secrets to National Enquirer. You are not a gossip, and you don't let things slip when you're tipsy. You're a real pal, my rock, my tree. I could hug you. But enough with the pleasantries. Let's get back to Betty. She phoned to tell me that she wants my phone calls and emails and texts to stop. If you're lonely, she said, talk to your husband or one of your friends at that bar you go to on Friday nights, not me. I'm not interested in your chit-chat. I only want to talk about spiritual matters. The audacity. She doesn't even go to a real church. She's part of a virtual congregation. We're gathering from around the globe, she told me. It's so exciting. We have people from China. Betty spends her days on house party, not to play Pictionary with a grandchild, but to perform exorcisms. Now that's got to be spooky on screen. Apparently, it's her job to free lost souls, one demon at a time. She's had other jobs. She worked at Edible Arrangements, KFC, and Dollarama. At Sunglass Hut, her nickname was Ornamental Only. Yes, she's gorgeous, and lazy, and vain. Don't ask her to meet you for coffee on the spur of the moment, because she'll need at least 3 hours in makeup, hair, and costume. And then, once she's ready, look out. All eyes will be on the 6-foot, bleached blonde Miss Glamour Puss as she sashays into Dunkin' Donuts, wearing a leopard print blouse, skin-tight jeans, snakeskin boots, and enough bling to lure a magpie from Manitoba. Even if you were blind, you'd know she was in the room. She's been spritzing herself with Avon's Sweet Honesty since 1973. I'm the opposite of Betty. I'm a country girl in plaid. I wonder how that happened. We were brought up in the same household by the same parents. Perhaps some family history will help you understand. I'll start on my maternal side, because, as everyone knows, mothers are to blame for their children's emotional and psychological problems. Mom claimed she had to spank us every night when we were little. She said we weren't happy until we got Dad's belt. I remember her hollering, "Don't make me come up there," from the living room. We'd whisper for a while, but then one of us would giggle. We'd hear Mom on the stairs and we'd start screaming, but she'd yank off our blankets and let us have it. She'd yell, "I wish I'd never been born." Then she'd collapse on one of our beds and bawl. I used to take comfort in the fact that she didn't wish I'd never been born, until years later, when Dad told me that one night he'd come home late and heard me crying. I was only a few months old. Mom was upstairs in the hallway, dangling me over the railing by an ankle. She let go, and Dad caught me. Dad never hid us, but according to Betty, he's in hell. He's in hell because he wouldn't believe in God. When I said, "That's right, Betty," he chose scientific evidence over myth, logic over faith, and reason over blind obedience. That's what happens when you have a university education. She yelled, "University is Satan's workshop. You're just an educated fool." I got my claws out. "And you with your grade 8 education, know all things?" I don't purport to know what happens after death, and I certainly don't believe anyone who says she does. You see, we agnostics need proof.
Wow, quite the characters. Thank you very much, Karen. We've been talking to writer Karen Riley this afternoon. Thank you so much, Karen, for zooming in and talking about your life and your work. Can you tell our listeners where they can purchase The County Wave?
Yes, Cressy Lakeside Books has a website. It's cressylakesidebooks.ca. Many stores in Prince Edward County, including Books and Company, and chapters in Belleville.
Wonderful. Thank you. And listeners, to connect with us here at the program, send your comments or your queries or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com. At the website, you'll find all our broadcasts archived, and you can listen to them at anywhere and at any time. We'd love to hear from you and welcome your comments on all our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.